Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. Hope we didn't rise up yesterday. My name is Mike Johnson. She's Allie Mack. He's Dylan Matthews. And at some point in the next hour, probably, he's going to be Squidbilly Bo Morgan. But he's not here just yet because he's still hanging out with the Atlanta Falcons players, getting off the airplane right down in Hartsfield Jackson. So at some point, he'll be coming in here hanging out. But guys, I don't think there's any reason to delay anymore. Talking about the inevitable, Allie. It was a rough day yesterday.
It was a rough day last night. How many hours exactly do you think 92.9 The Game has gone without your voice at this point, Mike Johnson?
I don't know.
3, 4?
I don't know. You know, it's the more you can do, the harder it is to get rid of you. That's how I always approach life. So there you go.
I can tell you. So we ended the broadcast, the post-game broadcast, at approximately 1:24. And now you're back at 1:04.
Okay.
So
6:04.
Oh, I'm tripping.
You're without sleep too.
You're doing great. Brain. I was going to say, you're on the same page as me. So
brain
doing
is fried. 6:04. So that's, what, a little less than 5 hours?
Yeah. Wouldn't have it any other way. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
It's
but
good
I'm happy to
be needed.
Here.
Yes, yes.
I am happy to be here.
We are going to be taking your calls all morning. I know everyone's got a lot of feelings about what we watched last night. 404-726-0929. But let's get you caught up on a headline-filled weekend. Some fun, some not so fun. For instance, a couple firings over the weekend. Florida has parted ways with Billy Napier, even though they won over Mississippi State. Atlanta United has fired manager Ronnie Dyla. Ronnie is out after one season. Georgia beat Ole Miss 43-35, handed the Rebels their first loss of the season. As far as the MLB playoffs, Dodgers swept the NLCS, took down the Brewers 5-1 on Friday, so they will be moving on. But the ALCS got interesting. Last night, Blue Jays decided to give us a show, making it a 7-game series. They'll take on the Mariners tonight. Winner heads to the World Series. Yeah,
Dodgers just posted like a mailbox over there waiting on somebody to step up and play them.
They're
you know
just
what I mean?
Waiting. No.
Hey, posted like a privacy fence, baby. Hey, y'all let me know when y'all are done over there. I'll sit over here.
The Mariners and Blue Jays are just like, let us have a moment. You're going to have your moment. Yeah. We want the spotlight right now.
Yeah, it's intense, man.
But
intense.
Of course, our Falcons fell last night to the 49ers 20-10. They're 3-3 for the season, taking your calls all morning on this loss. Was there a certain play you saw where you knew it was not going to go the Falcons' way last night? 404-726-0929. And let's just jump in. Hear from Raheem Morris right off the bat. He had an interview with Dave Archer after the game. I'll let him talk about what went wrong.
You know, we made mistakes from a coaching standpoint. We made mistakes from a playing standpoint. We got to go fix those things. Those things can't happen. You know, you're playing these type of big-time games, you play these type of big-time opponents, you got to come prepared and you got to be ready to deal.
Ooh. Ooh. Man, well, we played that on the post-game show just a few hours ago. It was, I don't know, I want to say, what's the word I'm going to use here? I'm going to say refreshing. It was refreshing. There was a level of accountability in his voice, and he talked about the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And I think that we've all – and I don't think he's just talking about Zach Robinson. I think he's talking about Jeff Ulbrich, too, the whole 12 men on the field, 10 men on the field situation.
Right.
Right there at the end of the game last night. So, yeah, I think there's no doubt about it. Everybody involved in the organization, everybody involved in that coaching staff, all the players, I think there does need to be a level of accountability. And – talking about how things need to be better and, you know, all the things that didn't go their way in last night's game. I like Raheem's response to Dave Archer right there. And, of course, we'll break it down over the next 3 hours. But I thought the response was the proper tone given the product we saw on the field. And it just is not what we've grown to expect in prime time for the Falcons this year. They've stepped up more times than not under Raheem Morris's tutelage. And it's not what you got.
Mike, this may not be a fair question, but I want to ask it anyway. If you had to divvy it up into percentages, let's make a pie graph for our listeners real quick, because there are going to be a lot of listeners that feel like this was all on the offense, which it wasn't. There is some blame to be handed out to the defense, as Raheem said, and I think we all agree with. There's some blame to be handed out to the coaches. So if you split up between offense, defense, coaching staff, how would you divvy up the blame as far as who deserves more, who deserves less, and things of that nature?
That's a phenomenal question. I'm going to give you credit. That is a phenomenal question. And I'm going to go somewhere along the lines of trying to do math in my head.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly on the offense.
I agree.
On the offensive players. I'm not going to split the coaches up in offense and defense. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's part of the question. So I'll say whatever comes next, maybe at 45, 35, and then the 20. So I'd say 35 on the coaches, and I'd say 20 on the defensive players.
I'm with you.
I'm like right there. You know, mm-hmm. I think the offensive players did not play with a level of tenacity that they would want to, given watching the tape. You know, they're going to do a good, bad, and the ugly. They're going to do watch the film. They just didn't play with the level of intensity that could match the 49ers. At the same time, I don't think the offensive staff and the offensive scheme is doing enough, nearly enough, to allow them to step in and be comfortable with their roles and play with that level of tenacity. The defense had its struggles. And what's frustrating, I think, about the defense, guys, is when we – the whole build-up to the season, we talked to multiple people and we had this conversation on this show a dozen times. I'm not sure how they're going to stop the run on the interior. They lost Eddie Goldman, right? They lost Grady Jarrett. They didn't draft any interior players. Now, Rook and Brandon Dorlus have had a great start to the year, but they're not that guy, right? They're not like the run-stuffing defensive tackles that you've grown to love throughout the NFL. So the question was, how can you stop the run? Last night, the answer was you couldn't, right? You couldn't stop the run. And so I think the defense definitely deserves some part of the blame. It's just, to me, it's the least part. It's the smallest amount when you break it into, you know, a pie graph like Dylan's talking about.
Do you think the score appropriately reflects, though, how the game went? Because they made that touchdown later in the game. I felt like it was pretty close throughout most of the game.
It definitely was. And God, your question that goes back to what we want the callers to talk about, when did you know that the Falcons were going to lose?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're going to have people out there that are weighing in going, when they strapped on the uniform, when Raheem Morris put on his hat, when he put on his joggers on the way to the sideline, I knew they were going to lose because Raheem can't coach or whatever else it may be. I think that you're going to have most people that will probably answer, if they're being honest, the attempted 4th-and-1 conversion where you tried to throw it to Drake London on 4th-and-1. That was brutal. But you go back to that moment, and if you can convert that play, this is a completely different game with a different outcome, in my opinion. But you had 3rd-and-1, you couldn't get it. You had 4th-and-1, you couldn't get it. And that really was what changed the game. I don't mind the call. I hated the play call. But they've got to get something figured out. But, yeah, I mean, there's just so many situations. Then you look at the possibility and the opportunity to get at least a field goal right before halftime when Michael Penix gets intentional grounding. 10-second runoff. The half ends. You don't get any points out of a situation where I was like, maybe they have a shot at the end zone. Nope. Zero. Go to the locker room. Off the interception when you didn't get any points off the interception. It's just – so many different little nuances and caveats throughout the game that left you disappointed, and it's just unfortunate because you're right. All things considered, yardage-wise, whatever else your eyeballs saw, it could have been a much different result at the end.
Yeah, we definitely have a lot of stats that we'll dig into, and I know you've kind of gone through a few different plays, probably haven't settled on one where, Mike, you believe you know. So I have one for me.
Okay.
It was when they said Divine Diablo was out for the rest of the game.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal one.
I was like,
phenomenal.
Oh, no.
Phenomenal. And Grant and I talked about this on postgame too. It's a phenomenal call by you. We talked about this on postgame a little bit as well because it changes everything. Right now, J.D. Bertrand enters the game. Do you trust J.D. Bertrand to be that middle linebacker spot that we've talked about numerous times, where we kind of run a 5-1 defensive front, roll a nickel into the box, or we roll a safety in the box. That position, when Divine Diablo runs a 4-4-40, it's different. He can be rangy. You can leave one linebacker. J.D. Bertrand, while he is gritty in the stat column, showed that he played well last night and had a couple of good short yardage plays. He's not going to be the sideline-to-sideline guy that Divine Diablo is. So now, all of a sudden, you're asking Caden Ellis to do different things. Jalen Walker did not suit up. Billy Bowman did not suit up. And so now you're changing three or four different spots with Divine Diablo not on the field because you don't have anybody else like him. So that's a really good call by
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it just felt like there were little moments where your stomach just kept sinking just a little bit. Dylan, do you have any plays or any moments where you're just like, this is not going our way?
Bad vibes.
The play for me that probably made me feel that way is, I'm probably going to have to say the one where Michael Penix Jr. has the fumble. And it's just like, this might be one of those days.
That's a good call as well.
Might be one of those
days.
That's
a good call as well, man. There'd be some people that say when Tyler Allgeier got hobbled.
Yeah.
And you brought him in the game two or three plays later to attempt the fourth down play. You knew he wasn't getting the ball probably, but Felipe Franks is also in. He's been hobbled. He had a calf all week, and that's when you throw the ball in fourth and one. So, I don't know. The Divine Diablo call is a great one. There were just so many little small things throughout that game where you're like, sheesh, this is not pointing our. But I think you bring up a good point as well, that I think that at the end of the game, you still had every opportunity to go out there and get points and win. And it wasn't really until I looked at the box score and I tweeted this out that the amount of first downs that we got was only 3 on the ground. As much as we've been able to run the ball, we had 19 first downs, 3 of them rushing. They had 22, 23 first downs and like 11 or 12 of them rushing. They ran the ball whenever they wanted to. We simply could not. And so that was kind of the difference in the game.
Well, and you had to hold out hope after seeing that Broncos game. I mean, that was absolutely wild with 33 points in the fourth quarter.
Man, that's crazy.
I know we have to go to break, but I want to throw out one more question because, Mike, does it make you feel any better? Because if you look at the numbers, y'all were just talking about it, Christian McCaffrey is really the only guy that killed you. I mean, I know they were good in the running game, but Christian McCaffrey had the bulk of those yards. Receiving yards, he had the bulk of those yards too. I mean, besides that, I think their best receiver was Juwan Jennings, 4 for 31. It was really just you not having an answer for Christian McCaffrey. Because it was really just McCaffrey that killed you, does it make you feel any better because you know who McCaffrey is? Or does it make you feel worse because it's like we only really had to stop one dude? If we could have at least neutralized him, this could have been a different outcome.
It's the second one for me. When you know it's one guy and you know that they're playing, left-handed, and Brock Purdy's not in, and Kittle's back, but he's rusty. I don't think he caught a ball last night.
Nah, he was targeted twice, but no catches.
Yeah, so, I mean, when it is just one guy, but you know it's one guy, and the defensive coaches know it's one guy, and there's still nothing you can do, that's a bad feeling. You know what I mean? It's I'd rather be misdirected to death and be having the conversation. Had bad eyes right there. You know, got to have eye discipline.
Yeah. Kendrick Bourne on the double move killed us.
I'd rather have that one than have it be like, man, they just hit us right in the mouth and there was nothing we could do or say about it. That's frustrating.
Our phone lines are open all morning, 404-726-0929. Call in with your thoughts, your feelings, your concerns about this Falcons team. And we're going to continue to talk about it. We hated to see it, but got to get into that loss from last night. We'll slice and dice what happened next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.